Aloha, and welcome back to Talk Story with John Waihe'i and our special guest this afternoon, Don Chang. Don was nominated by the governor of the state of Hawaii, Governor Green, to become the chairman of the Board of Natural Resources and the director of the Department of Land and Natural Resources. So this is a very important state position, and we are so glad that she took some time out from her busy schedule to join us this afternoon. This is a very important position for the state of Hawaii. And so I want to welcome you and tell us a little bit about yourself. I know people know, Don, that you've been around government natural resources for a long time, but many people don't. So where did you grow up? What's your family like? What just a little human interest.
Thank you so much, John. And I greatly appreciate the opportunity to talk Story with you. We have been seeing each other at different gatherings, so nice to see you. Well, I'm actually from, my mother is a Ho'okano from the Ahupua of Kahalu. That's where my ohana is from. And she still has kuleana lands. Her family, Ho'okano, has kuleana lands in Ho'okano. My uncle then were Lawaia, were fishermen in Kaneohe Bay. My father's mother is she was a picture bride from Okinawa. So that's where we see each other. Yes, we see each other at a lot of the Okinawan events. So my grandmother was a, my father, a Sharoma. My grandmother was a picture bride who went to live in Pu'unene on Maui. So I probably reflect a lot of local populations, right? Part Hawaiian, my mother's part Hawaiian, Chinese, a little bit of English, and my father's Okinawan. But
see, that's what I want to get into a little bit, because you definitely are Hawaiian. You can see that, everything, the whole Kena, the whole bit. But, it's interesting to me because, well, first of all, let me ask you a question. Assuming that everything goes well, and you become, would you be the first Native Hawaiian director of DLNR?
I would be the first Native Hawaiian woman to chair the Board of Land and Natural Resources. We've had other Native Hawaiian men. William Ayla has served. Keith Ahui,
right,
if you remember, he has served as well. But
he was my served for me.
You're right. You're right, John. Yes, yes. So, but I will be the first Native Hawaiian woman. So quite a start. My leadership team, the first deputy is Laura Ka'akua. And then the Water Resource Management Deputy Director is Kaleo Manuel. So this is a historic team, the first Native Hawaiian leadership team at DLNR. So, yes, and I think this is the right time for this team, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But what's exciting about it is the fact that you're also a Shiroma, see? And a Shiroma, that's a Uchinanchu name, Okinawan name, and it's from the village in Okinawa, Gaza, which is my wife's father's village.
Yes, the Kumashigawas. You're right. You're right. And Governor Ige is also a member of our Gaza Yanagusku. So, yes, there's a very strong Okinawan leadership that comes out of the little village of Gaza Yanagusku in Okinawa.
So let me ask you the question. So would you be the first person of Okinawan ancestry to head DLNR? Do you know that, or is that something? I actually did research. I couldn't find any. Couldn't find any Okinawan names. But
I think I am. I'm not sure, but I confidently know I am the first Okinawan woman to also serve. So see, I mean, this is historic. Either way, you got to take care of both sides of the family, right? The Hawaiian side, the Ho'okano side. And then the Shiroma side on the Okinawan side. So proud, a proud dynasty.
Well, that's something that I think both sides need to be very proud of. And the fact for Native Hawaiians, the fact that we have for the first time a Native Hawaiian leadership team at DLNR, I think speaks well. And so, are you getting settled in there and starting to enjoy what you do? And
you know, John, this has been sort of my dream job. I used to be, probably 20, 30 years ago, I used to be the deputy director for DLNR. So after I graduated from Richardson School of Law, and mahalo to C.J. Richardson for establishing the Richardson School of Law, which was to create access to affordable legal education for local people to get a law degree, but it's also the kuleana in return was that we would provide access to legal services to the people of Hawaii. But I clerked for Judge Walter Heen for 2 years, and I told him, please, can I stay with you longer? He said, no, go out and get a real job. So then I worked for the Department of the Attorney General's office, and DLNR was my client. And in that days, I was there while you were the first Native Hawaiian governor. So this was back in the 1990s. And it was a very historic period of time. One, Act 306, the burial laws was passed. Kaho'olawe, you and President Clinton, instrumental in transferring the conveyance of Kaho'olawe back to the state of Hawaii. There were, and then, you know, there were a lot of different...
You were a part of all of that.
I was. Yes.
Time. And when did you become deputy director at DLNR?
Well, I wasn't the deputy director. I was a deputy attorney general.
Oh, that's
attorney. Yeah. So I was their attorney. Yeah. So I was their attorney. So I did a lot of land transaction, was involved in a lot of litigation. So one of the last cases I litigated was a ceded lands case that went up to the United States Supreme Court on the alienation of ceded lands.
We have not been treated kindly by the United States Supreme Court. But that case actually the Hawaii Supreme Court set some very important precedents in that case.
It is. I mean, it did. I think we believe that the state of Hawaii has the authority to alienate ceded lands. It is a political question whether we will do that. So I think the Hawaii Supreme Court wanted to give us time to try to negotiate something with the Hawaiian community. So in the work that I was doing as a consultant, after I left the Attorney General's office, you know, I came to realize that many of the decisions that came before the Board of Land and Natural Resources and the Water Commission, that was the first time that the community actually heard about these very controversial projects, including East Maui irrigation, ceded lands. So I decided to dedicate my practice to facilitating a community or designing community engagement processes that would genuinely engage the impacted communities, primarily Native Hawaiians. So I was involved. So the Department of Interior, if you recall, came down to Hawaii, and I facilitated 14 of those public meetings, very emotional. They were very hard for me. You know, you have 400, 500, 600 people who they wanted to be present because it was important. It was almost like, in my mind, like the Kū'e petition. I think Hawaiians wanted to be there, right? Wanted to participate in this discussion about, and it wasn't establishing, a government-to-government relationships with the federal government. It was to establish a administrative rule process because Senator Akaka at that time was not able to get the law passed in Congress. So on the waning days of the Obama administration, Department of Interior decided to do this administrative process. So when the Hawaiians are ready to proceed with a government-to-government relationships, there's an administrative rule, but clearly we're not there yet. But it was an honor for me to also facilitate those meetings because they were quite emotional. So I think it is the right time to have a Hawaiian leadership chairing.
Absolutely. My thought is that there's never a bad time.
Amen to that. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely long overdue, right, Governor? Yeah, it's long overdue that we have Hawaiians. Yes. I would agree with you.
I was very fortunate that the citizens of Hawaii bought that concept in 1986 when I got elected. So I'm all with you. You know, one of the things about the Hawaii state constitution is that we take the concept that was really developed by Chief Justice Richardson, who you acknowledged earlier, and took it, a little further maybe, and that is with this whole idea of public land trust, of the idea that my understanding is that basically DLNR is sort of the trustee of our natural resources. And what's your thoughts about how important that is?
Governor, our public trust duty is our driving force. I mean, we have an obligation to preserve and protect our cultural and natural resources. I mean, DLNR manages 1.3 million acres of land. We also manage 3 million acres of state ocean waters, including nearshore waters, coral reefs, small boat harbors. We also manage historic and cultural sites, forests and watersheds, public beaches, 50 state parks. But we manage these resources as a trust obligation. We do, our obligation is first to the people of Hawaii. And so I think we have and that's why I would tell you, I am extremely honored and privileged. I have greatly appreciated Governor Green's confidence in me in nominating me for this position, because I think it demonstrates his commitment to both DLNR, natural and cultural resources, and to the people of Hawaii by having a Hawaiian leadership. But, we have an obligation to ensure that these resources are not only here for today, but for future generations to come. So it is with great honor and an extreme kuleana and humility to take on this heavy responsibility. But I will tell you, DLNR has some of the best staff that I could ask for, that they take seriously their management responsibilities. They come in with passion and dedication. So I think a kākou effort between DLNR, our staff, our leadership, and the people of Hawaii, that we take seriously this public trust duty.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to take a short break right now, and we'll be right back. And when we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit more about what are Governor Green's aspirations, as well as yours for the department in the at least over the next 4 years. So
all right,
let's do that. Aloha and welcome. Welcome back to Talk Story with John Waihe'e. And before we continue, I would like to encourage those of you listening to us who enjoy our programs to please, we can always use your support here at ThinkTech. Anyway, our guest this afternoon is the designee director for the Department of Land and Natural Resources, Don Shiroma Chang. You saw I did that, right? I did that. So when my wife is listening to this tomorrow, you know. But in any event, so, you know, I think that the position that you're holding is probably one of the most important in state government, you know. And so tell us a little bit about why the governor chose you and what does he expect to do? And also, more just as importantly, tell us a little bit about what you think you'd like to contribute to the department.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. You know, I suspect the governor, you know, he had many applicants. I mean, I went through the application process and I appreciated the fact that I was recommended. There was a selection panel, and then I interviewed with the Governor Green. You know, I think what Governor Green is looking for, I think he is looking for leadership, especially by Native Hawaiians in his cabinet. He has quite a few Native Hawaiians who are in his cabinet. I think Governor Green sees a lot of the challenging issues involving our community, whether it's managing our resources, whether it's managing between, you know, local residents and visitors. We just coming out of the pandemic, we know, you know, and COVID, when things were very quiet and the local people got a flavor of what it was like to go back to places that they haven't been able to go to. So I think there becomes some little bit of tension between local communities who have now been able to get access to their resources and the visitor industry. So I think Governor Green recognizing this, and I appreciated his bold initiative during this legislative session, you know, trying to pursue $100 million for a climate change bill, looking at a green fee that the visitors would pay a $50 green fee to enjoy our public parks, our beaches, our ocean waters, and that would be housed within the Department of Land and Natural Resources. I will share with you that, for example, Diamond Head, prior to COVID, we probably had about 6,000 daily visitors, and it was mostly visitors. Very few local people because they didn't want to. You know, it was not a pleasant experience. But once we established this visitor reservation system, we set aside spaces, parking, and reservations for local residents. They don't pay anything. They don't pay for parking. They don't pay for walking, hiking up Diamond Head Road. But the visitor pays for parking and they pay to go up to Diamond Head. So we have had half of the amount of visitors, 3,000 visitors, but we have, you know, through our anecdotal and surveys, everyone has a better experience. So DLNR is really, I think we have found a way to manage our, at least several of our state parks. Haena is another good example. I think after that big flood, the people of Haena, they were the driving force behind the Haena master plan. And now they are malaming, they're stewarding these lands with Division of State Parks. I think, Governor, what I've realized is DLNR, we cannot steward all of these resources by ourselves. There's just no way we have the capacity. So my vision is, I mean, you're going to find I am a process person. I want to see much more community engagement, whether it's in our state parks, whether it's our marine resources, whether it's our hiking, but working with communities that are ready and willing to work with us to steward these resources. These communities are the most impacted, but likewise, they are the ones who feel the greatest sense of ownership, that we know that they would malama these resources. So
You know, what's interesting when people bring up the whole idea of visitor fees, they seem to think that, well, you know, some people anyway think, well, you know, we shouldn't be tough. But what people may forget is that residents, through their taxes, already pay their fees. You know, they already pay their fees. And for them to go to their own park, in a sense, and charged even more, doesn't really make good policy. I don't think so. I think the governor...
Yeah, and I think that was Governor Green's vision, too, having the visitors pay for their share of the impacts on these resources, whether it's from Waikiki to, you know, to the North Shore. But these visitors who contribute to impacts, and when we've done surveys, visitors are more than willing to. They're used to when they go to Yellowstone National Park, they have to pay a fee. So I think what we've heard is that visitors are willing to help shoulder this responsibility with local residents.
Well, you know, one issue that's lurking out there for Governor Green and for yourself and anybody in government at the moment is the whole issue of ceded lands and how they're handled and management and everything. And the word ceded itself is sort of a misnomer. These are public lands. But the question I have is, one of the perennial issues has been whether or not we actually know where exactly these lands are. Now, I believe we know where they are. We just may not have measured. What are the plans to do an inventory or anything like that?
And, you know, I'm glad you asked that question, because DLNR actually has done an inventory. So we have identified there's a website that you can go onto. You can find ceded lands. We have we've inventoried them. We've made those available. We have, you know, and I think the other very important, you know, I'd like to believe what's helpful by having a Native Hawaiian leadership is our ability to work with Office of Hawaiian Affairs and Department of Hawaiian Homelands. We really should be working collaboratively with them. We shouldn't be at odds, right? We really want the best for the people of Hawaii. So I am optimistic that we will be able to work with Office of Hawaiian Affairs and ultimately, you know, addressing any unresolved ceded lands issues. I think that we have tried in the past, even during your own administration, as well as others, have tried to work and resolve that. So I am optimistic that with a Hawaiian leadership, we can move in that direction to address if there's any outstanding issues. We believe we have addressed most of them. But if you're looking for the inventory, go on to DLNR's website. It has a public land inventory, and you can find it there. So,
The other issue that's perennial, it has to do with burials and the rest of that.
Yes.
And what are some of your thoughts on that in that area?
You know, and I know that has raised, there are some people in the community who have, you know, just had some issues with maybe some of the work that I've done in the past. But I will tell you, when working at the Attorney General's office in the late 80s, 90s, at 306, Honokohua had occurred. You know, over 1,000 Native Hawaiian burials were disturbed during an archaeological reconnaissance. And then Hawaiian community became mobilized. So I was worked with Hale Aloha Aiyao when he was at the Department of State Historic Preservation Division. You know, he helped to draft the law and then the administrative rules. I worked with him. We litigated several cases. I mean, that law was really designed to recognize that Native Hawaiian burials have historically been disregarded. And some will say desecrated, and that's true. So I think we take very seriously our role with State Historic Preservation Division, working with lineal and cultural descendants on Native Hawaiian burials. I mean, my own tutu, my mother's mother, is buried on our Kuleana lands. She has a headstone because her ohana could afford the headstone. But I have many other family members that are buried next to her. They have a pohaku, they have a tea leaf, or they have, you know, a plumeria tree. But we know who's buried there. That is our family burial plot. So, I mean, I think that at one time, historians will say there were anywhere between, 500 to 800,000 Native Hawaiians prior to Western contact. Now, they are buried someplace. They're not buried with a headstone. So it is inevitable. And so what we try to do is encourage and ensure that anybody who's doing a project, that they are trying to avoid impacts to Native Hawaiian burials.
And, that's fantastic. So this is something you apparently take very seriously. You've had a hand in doing. Because I remember those days when we did those issues for the first time. And I think people forget, they take granted to the idea that there is a process. But back in the days, it was like, it was a time of discovery, in a sense, of what we can do and what we couldn't do and how far we can go and how this all happened. So I'm so pleased that you are cognizant of it. Any last thoughts for us?
Like I said, it is an honor to have the opportunity to chair the Board of Land and Natural Resources. I will tell you, and my vision, I don't have a list of three priorities. These are things. I'm a process person. I am going to use the Board of Land and Natural Resources meetings as well as the Commission on Water Resource to use it as a public informational meetings so that when issues, before they're contentious, I'd like an informational briefing where the community can be briefed on good, accurate information before decision is made. I'm all about informed decision making. I'm also looking at greater collaboration and partnerships with communities, whether it's fishing, whether it's taking care of doing a stewardship agreement. I want to ensure an open, a fair, a transparent process at DLNR, because like I said, we can't do it by ourselves. We have to do this together with other sister agencies as well as with the public. So I am very grateful and honored to be here. I thank you, John. You sort of set the tone during your administration about the sensitivity for many of the issues that we're dealing with today. So I thank you for your leadership and setting the course for many of us who have come afterwards. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for agreeing to join us this afternoon. And we look forward to seeing great things being done by you. And again, I am so proud that, first of all, that we have a Native Hawaiian team meeting DLNR for the first time in its history and a Native Hawaiian woman. But you got to give me a little credit for sneaking in the fact that you are probably the first Uchinan Chu director at the LNR.
Yes. So, I am very proud of my heritage, as all of us are. So mahalo for that, John. Thank you so much.
Aloha.
Thank you so much for watching Think Tech Hawaii. If you like what we do, please like us and click the subscribe button on YouTube and the follow button on Vimeo. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, and donate to us at thinktechhawaii.com. Mahalo.